Today's Shi'ur Masechta Yuma Daf Mem Ches. We will begin with the last word of Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Begins the Gemara Boy Rapapa. Rapapa continues to discuss the halachas of Kemitza and Chafina. We're discussing how can one be, what is the proper way, or if one did Kemitza, Chafina, in not the usual manner, under what circumstances is it still considered a valid kmitza chfina, and when is it not? Says the Gemara by Rapapa, Dapke lekoimitz bedoifne demona. Rashi explains what it means is that, as we know, after one does the kmitza from the klisharis, in which the ingredients of the karban mincha are in, you then deposit that koimitz into klisharis. And what happened over here, says the Gemara, is that instead of putting it on the bottom of this klisharis, what he did was he put it on the side of the klisharis. And the question is, if putting it on the side of the klisharis is also considered an acceptable manner of doing the kmitza. The Rambam has a different explanation in this question of Rapapa. The Rambam's explanation of this question is that the person who did the kmitza, instead of taking the koimitz from whatever ingredients are inside the klisharis, whatever ingredients of the karban mincha that we discussed in our previous shiur are inside the klisharis, he took it from the side of the wall. And instead of taking it from the inside, he took it from the side. And I saw that the Mefarshim explained, why didn't the Rambam not like Rashi's approach? Because just like, as we're going to discuss, Kabbalah's Hadam is a very important part of the Avodah by every carbon. But when we speak about the Kabbalah's Hadam by every carbon, the Torah doesn't differentiate where in the klisharis the dam goes into that it should be a valid Kabbalah's Hadam. So if that's the halacha by Kabbalah's Hadam, the corresponding Avodah by Karban Mincha is when the koimitz is put into the klisharis. So just like the dam of a carbon can be put anywhere in that bowl and it will be considered a valid Kabbalah's Hadam, so too should be the halacha anywhere you put the kmitza. And therefore the Rambam, because of that difficulty that he had with Rashi's pshat, had to come up with another pshat, and that is how the kmitza was done. Does the kmitza have to be done from the inside of the keli, or could be done even from the side of the keli? Another question. So first question was dafkel kaimitz b'doif de mana. My wa will be halacha. Toich kli b'inin. Do we need that the kmitza, we're learning with Rashi's pshat, that the kmitza should be deposited into the keli for hayka, and it is being deposited into the keli. What's the difference? I put it on the wall, or I put it in the middle. It has to be inside the keli, and if you put it on the wall of the keli, valeka, and that isn't the case in such a situation. And the Gemara remains with a teiku. Now the Gemara asks another question. By Mabar Avashi, apchalamonai, he turned the keli upside down. V'tavke lekaimitz ba'aras adamana. And he put the koimitz on the base of the keli in which you normally put the koimitz. Mahu, what will be the din? Hanocha v'toich binan. Do we need that the koimitz should be put inside the keli? V'ikka, and you did put it inside a keli. Oidilma, perhaps, hanocha kesikna binan. And the hanocha is supposed to be put into the main part of the vessel, and that wasn't done here, v'leka. So again, here too, Rashi explains that the bottom of this keli has a base, and in this base is where you want to put, is where he puts the koimitz, and is that considered a valid koimitz? So again, the Rambam here too learns, like he learned in the previous piece of Gemara, that the Gemara's question wasn't regarding where you're depositing the koimitz, but rather the Gemara's question is from where you're taking the koimitz, and again with the same question, would that be a valid way to take the koimitz or not? Furthermore, the Rishonim explained that even according to Rashi, that he's speaking about a situation where you have the bottom of the keli, Rashi is referring to a circumstance where it's not just the flat, that a keli is just flat on the bottom. That certainly would not be a valid way to do kaimitz. A kaimitz has to be done from, a kaimitz has to be done or deposited into something that looks like a keli. But the way the kelim, the klisharis, were looked was the base had like a rim, it went down. And therefore, although it was certainly much smaller than the actual bowl, both sides look like a bowl. And since both sides look like a bowl, it's considered that both sides are considered a keli. And in fact, the Shailos HaTshuvos, Betzel HaChochma, based on this Gemara, says there's a question when it comes, in our world, this question is of course not that common. But in their world, where they used to try to preserve the clothing that they wore, so what they used to do is if their clothing started getting non-wearable, they used to turn it upside down. And the question is, if turning a keli up, turning a garment inside out, is that considered like a new garment that one would not be allowed to wear during the 3 weeks, that one would not be allowed to wear on the during the sphera? So he wants to say the fact that our Gemara asks a question about the bottom, the base of the keli, can it also be considered the keli, is a proof that when you turn something upside down, it's considered as if it's something new. And that's why, because if it weren't considered, he suggests, something new, then of course it would be a valid way to do the kaimitz, because it's the same keli, whether it's the upper part of the bowl or the bottom part of the bowl. The fact that our Gemara wants to say that the bottom part of the bowl is not to be considered the same as the upper part of the bowl, it shows that if you turn it upside down, it's as if you have an entirely new keli here. And that's why he says that it may be that during the 3 weeks, or during the sphera, people change or reverse their clothing that way, it will not be a valid way of doing kmitza. Another question. Now we go to Chafina. By Rapapa, Malai Chafna Shamra, as we discussed in our previous year, the Kohen Gadol would take two handfuls of the Ktiris and then pour them over to the kaf, to the spoon. So now the question is, when we speak about those Malai Chafnas, is Mechukas, are they equal to the palm? They don't go over. Oy gedushas, that the means that they have to be heaping stacks of the Torahs. Amle Rabbele Ravashi Toshma. The Brisa says when the Torah says Maloi Chafnu Shamru, when the Torah speaks about the Maloi Chafnu, it's Loi Mechukas Loi Gedushas. It shouldn't be too full. Like Mechukas means too little. Like Kedushas, not too much. El Tfufas, just equal to the sides of your hand. Tanan Hossam begins the Gemara. First, the Gemara discusses a halacha that the Mishnah, Masechta Zvachim, Daf Chaf Hei Amar Aleph, teaches us. Says the Gemara, if you shech the carbon, v'nishpach hadam al ritzpa, and the blood, instead of pouring into the keli that we mentioned before, for Kabbal Saddam, poured onto the floor. V'asfa, and then the Kohen scoops up that blood from the floor, puzzle. That dam cannot be used for Zrikas Adam. However, if the dam was deposited into the keli, it was properly put into the keli, and then v'asfai, and then you scoop it up, and then it poured out, it spilled out from the keli onto the ritzpah, onto the floor, and then you scoop it up v'asfai, and you scoop it up in the keli, the halacha is kosher, that dam is kosher for Zrikas Adam. So the Gemara asks, Menonimili, from where we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, the Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us, when the Torah speaks about the Kohen has to take Bivakabal the dam, so says the Torah, V'lokach HaKohen midam hapar, V'lokach HaKohen HaMashiach midam hapar, teaches us the Braisa, which type of blood that comes out of the animal as it is expiring can be used for the Zrikas Adam. says the Braisa, Bidam HaNefesh, the Dam HaNefesh. The Dam HaNefesh, as the Gemara Masech decreases, Daf Chav Beis Amin Aleph teaches us, there are a number of different types of blood that come out of the animal as it dies. First comes out blood, black blood. Afterwards comes out red blood. And they trickle out. They don't come out with a spurt. Then after comes out blood spurting, gushing out. That's the dam sheneshama yoytzeba, the dam which represents the animal expiring. Then the blood starts to trickle again. And then the last drop of blood, which is the dam atamsis, comes out. So now the Gemara over there teaches us, since the pasuk says midam hapar, it doesn't say dam par, it says dam hapar. So it means the special dam of the animal, which is the dam nefesh, which we just explained, is the dam that represents the animal dying. The cut of the animal which causes it to bleed, you can't use that blood for kabbal sadam. The loy medam atamsis, the dam atamsis we just explained, may not be used either for kabbal sadam. Says the Gemara further, the Torah says midam hapar. It doesn't say dam hapar. The Torah says the word midam hapar to teach us dam miapar yekableno. We have to take the blood directly from the neck of the animal, and not that it should be go on the floor and take it from the floor, but rather we explain dam, we take the mem that's at the beginning of the word midam, and we place it next to the word hapar. And the Torah is teaching us dam me hapar. The blood should go directly from the animal. Midam hapar, vafilu mixistam. But the halacha is that you don't have to have all of the blood that comes out, all of the dam hanefesh, to make it considered a valid kabbal sadam. As long as you have dam hanefesh and you have enough dam hanefesh to be able to do the zrika sadam, that's acceptable. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that? Vama Rav Yehuda, hamakabel tzarech shiyakabel, as called doma shalpar, that the person has to receive be makabel all the dam. Shenemar, because the pasuk says was called dam hapar yishpoich yisoy hamizbeach, called dam hapar. Doesn't that come to teach us that all of the dam has to be accepted, not just part of it? El shema mina, my midam hapar. How do we understand? How are we to understand midam hapar? Dam yapar yekableno, that the pasuk is not to be understood midam hapar, that some of the blood, all of the blood, the kasava, rather it's come to teach us that you have to get the blood directly from the animal. Because what we do in this case is goyun umesifin. We change the words, we take the mem from the word dam and we put it to the word hapar. And that's why if the dam did not go into the keli, it went onto the floor, it's not acceptable. On the other hand, if it went into the keli and then it spilled out from the keli, you could pick it up. Of course, the Rishonim point out that it's only b'dieved. L'chatchila, we have to be careful to prevent that dam from spilling onto the floor. And moreover, Tosfos says, let's say some of the dam spilled on the floor, but there's enough blood in the keli that I could still do the kabbal sadam, and I could still do the zrika sadam. There's a mitzvah to scoop up whatever dam spilled out of the keli and put it into the keli for zrika sadam. An interesting question that the Sfasem, that the Megdash David discusses, here we just learned that the kabbal sadam has to be done directly from the animal's neck. What happens if blood was received, and we also just learned that you don't have to have all of the dam. Even if you just have some of the dam, it's going to be valid. So let's say a person just took some of the dam from the neck, from the slit of the animal, dam ha-nefesh, and did a zrika sadam, did one matana with it. Can he then do another, and then he realizes that he doesn't have enough blood, and the animal is still expelling dam ha-nefesh. could he go back and take do more Kabbalah Saddam, because he needs more Kabbalah Saddam. So I saw it's a machlokes achroinim. The Sfas Emes's opinion is that now it's too late. Once you began the Zrikas Adam, it's too late to go back to do more Kabbalah Saddam. But the Rav Arile Malin, in the name of Rav Chaim Brisker, said, there's no problem. You could go back to take more blood if you need, because you need the blood to do more Zrika. Ask the Gemara. So now the Gemara connects the question, the discussion that we just had regarding Kabbalah Saddam and Zrika Saddam to the discussion that we have regarding the Ketoros on Yom Kippur. By Rapop in the Spazbach, Ketoros with Meloy Chofnov. The Ketoros fell out from the Kohen Gadol's palms onto the floor. Ma, what's going to be Halacha? Can you, does that Ketoros become disqualified? Or could you scoop that Ketoros off the floor and reuse it? Because, explains the Gemara, What is the basis of this question? Do we look at Yodoy Ketzava Behema? Do we look at his hand like the neck of the animal? And therefore, if we look at it that way, if it's spilled on the floor, it's like spilled like the blood that spilled from the neck of the animal directly on the floor and psula, and it can't be used anymore. Adilma, Klisharis dami, or do we look at the hands like a klisharis? And we just learned that if the dam falls out of the klisharis, you could scoop it up from the floor, and it'll still be usable. And the Gemara remains with a teiku. So the Gemara's question really is: How do we look at his hands? Do we consider the hands a klisharis? And I saw that the Mefarshim explained. As we discussed in our previous year, the halacha really is that one should take the ketoros into the Kodesh Kedoshim in his hands. But we just learned in yesterday's shir that can't be done because he also has to carry the machta full of coals. That clearly is an indication that they're a klisharis, because that's the way the ketoros should be transported into Kodesh Kedoshim. On the other hand, we can make an argument that it's not considered that way. And the reason it shouldn't be considered that way is because at the end of the day, the ketoros is not brought into the Kodesh Kedoshim with his hands. The ketoros is brought into Kodesh Kedoshim with the calf. That seems to prove that they're not considered like a klisharis, and they're considered like the neck of the animal. And that is exactly Reb Papa's question. How do we look at the palms, at the palms of the Kohen's hands when it comes to the ketoros? So the Rishonim say, our Gemara began by teaching us what is the halacha by the dam of a carbon, and then wanted to say, how do we view corresponding situation with the ketoros that are on the palms of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. What the Gemara didn't ask is how do we look at the kemitza? What would be the halacha if the Kohen did kemitza of a Karban Mincha and part of that kemitz fell onto the ground? What would be the halacha? The Gemara doesn't ask that question. So Ritva says, since the chiv by the kemitza is there, there's no question that after you do the kemitza, it has to be put into a kli. So therefore, as long as it wasn't put into the kli sharis, if the flour, whatever you did kemitza with, poured out from your hand onto the floor, it will be considered, according to the halacha, like it poured out from the neck of the animal directly on the floor, which we just learned that if it fell out directly from the neck of the animal onto the floor, it's not considered a valid way of that. That becomes permanently disqualified. And the Tosfos Yeshanim really explains this a step further. He explains that the Gemara Masechta Menachos says very often that we know that when it comes to every carbon, there are four primary avoidas, a carbon that brought from an animal, shchita, kabbalah, locha, zrika. There are corresponding avoidas by every carbon mincha.
and the kaimitz is like the shechita, and the separation is like the Kabbalah. So just like by an animal, we just finished learning that there is no question the dam cannot go on the floor, so too would certainly be the halacha by the mincha. And if the kaimitz fell on the floor, that before it was put into the klisharus, in which it's supposed to be deposited, it certainly would become disqualified and not usable. By Rapapa, chishev bechafinis k'tayrus. We know that one of the very serious ways of disqualifying a carbon is by pigel, by having a machshava during one of these four activities that we just described, shechita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika, to do the avoda chutz l'zmanoi after the right time, or to eat the carbon chutz l'zmanoi after the right time. If the kohen has such a machshava, the carbon becomes pigel. It becomes disqualified. Not only does it become disqualified, but if one chas v'sholem eats a carbon which is pigel, there's going to be a chiyuv karis. So now the Gemara wants to again try to correspond the halachas that we have by every carbon to the halacha that we discuss when we speak about chfina. So ask the Gemara, Bar Papa chishev b'chfinas k'tayrus. When the kohen was doing the chfina, and he's doing the chfina if he does it properly, he's supposed to have in mind that he's going to take that k'tayrus into Kodesh Kedoshim today on Yom Kippur. But he has in mind that he's going to do it tomorrow, which is clearly la'acha zmanoi. The question is, will that machshava turn this into pigel? Mahu. How does the halacha look at such a situation? Mi aminin yalef meloi meloi mincha. As we discussed in our previous year, the Torah Kedosha says by the Karban mincha, meloi kumtzoi. The Torah Kedosha says by chfina, meloi chafnav. Mahasam. So certainly by a Karban mincha, mahani ba machshava, if while you're doing the kmitza, you had a machshavas, chutz l'zmanoi, the carbon mincha will become pigel. Because we find that the Torah connects the iser, the Torah teaches us the iser pigel by the carbon shlomim, and then the Torah says, zois ha Torah, lo'ilu l'mincha l'chatus l'ashon l'muim l'zevach ha-shlomim. So the Torah, we see that the Torah connects the halach of a carbon mincha to the halach of a carbon shlomim. So just like a carbon shlomim, as we just discussed, can become pigel, so too can a carbon mincha become pigel if you had the wrong machshava when you did the kmitza on that carbon mincha. So if that's the halacha by a carbon mincha, hachanami, we'll say the same thing by the chfina, which we just said the Torah connected the chfina to kmitza. Mahani by machshava, a carbon can become pigel, the chfina could become pigel. This is halacha that was stated strictly by a carbon mincha, and we can't apply the gzeirah shava to take it even further. One of the reasons I saw is Taisus explains there's a rule, davar lomed behekesh, when it comes to kachim, something that was learned once, ein lemeidim behekesh, we can't have a double hekesh. And therefore here it would represent a double hekesh, and therefore the gzer shava would not take the din of pigel to the halacha of chfina as well. Answers the Gemara, amalei Rav Simi bar Ashlu Rapapa, toshma, I bring you a raya. The Mishnah Masech the Igis says that Rav Shimon ben Maseiris, this is the Mishnah Perches, Mishnah Aleph teaches us that Rav Shimon ben Maseiris spoke about the Efer, the ash of the Paros Chatus, that if a Tomei touched part of it, all of it, that's the ashes of the Parah Aduma, somebody Tomei touched part of it, it becomes completely disqualified. Hosef Rav Akiva. And Rabbi Kiva said that this halacha also applies by the soilus of a carbon mincha, by the tyrus that is brought every day and brought on Yom Kippur, velavayna, as we described in yesterday's shir, when somebody brings a carbon mincha, he has on top of the carbon mincha some levayna, vagecholim, and this halacha applies by the coals that are brought on Yom Kippur and by the Kohen Gadol into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that the halacha is Shimnogot Ful Yoim, the person who's Tamei and he went into the mikveh, he's not considered completely Tahor until he has Herif Shemesh, until night comes. And until night comes, he is called a Tful Yoim. That the halach is if some, that even if somebody who's a Tful Yoim, which is a low level Tumah, if he somebody touched B'miktsasin, part of these various things that we just discussed, Pasos Kulam, the entire stack becomes Tamei. Because Sakadatach, and the way we understand that Mishnah, the Pasol Tfoyoim, that if a Tfoyoim can disqualify it, similarly, Pasoloin Lina. Lina, if it was left overnight, it would also become Pasol. So we see, now, if Lina is a disqualification by these things, what does Lina mean? That there's a concept of Zmanoi. The whole concept of Lina is connected to the concept of Zmanoi. Because Lina means that it was left past the time that it's supposed to be left, and that's why it becomes disqualified. So we see that Lina is a factor. Obviously, then the Machshava of Lina, the Machshava of L'chutz L'zmanoi, is also considered something to take into consideration, and it would be a raya, it would be very much a raya that it's possible by that Machshava's chutz L'zmanoi by the various activities that we just discussed. But what's relevant to our shir, chfina, would disqualify that k'tiris. Continues the Gemara. By Rapapa, chishev b'chatiyas k'cholim. If some, as the kohen is taking the coals, what's going to be the halacha? Mahu. How do we look at that? And the Gemara explains the question. The coals are not the actual k'tiris. The coals are only there because you have to burn the k'tiris in something. So you bring the coals to burn them. How do I look at that? Do we say machshiri mitzvah? The coals which are only there to help us be able to form the mitzvah are considered k'mitzvah dama. And therefore, just like we finished proving that there's a concept of machshevas pigel on the k'tiris, there's going to be a machshevas pigel on the k'cholim as well. Or loy, since they're only machshirei mitzvah, it wouldn't have the same halacha. And by them, everybody would agree that they're not subject to pigel, and the Gemara remains with a teiku. By minei merev sheshes, the halacha is that, of course, all kabbonis, the kohen gadol, when he performs the avodah, he has to do it with his right hand. Whatever the Torah speaks about an avodah done by a kohen, it needs the right hand. Halacha biyat smol. What's going to be halacha if somebody's taking the dam of the carbon to the mizbeach and he carried it with the left hand? Mahu. Does, since there's no obligation in the Torah that you have to do halacha, so therefore maybe the Torah doesn't expressly say that halacha must be performed. So maybe if he carried the dam in his left hand, the carbon doesn't become pasul. Or it is considered an essential avodah, and therefore, or a necessary avodah, and therefore if it's done with the left hand, it's pasul. Amalei Rav Sheshes Tenisua. Don't we have an answer to this question from our Mishnah? Because we learned, and we discussed this in our previous year, Natal Hamachta B'minoi, the Kohen Gadol carried the shovel with the gecholim, with the coals in his right hand, Vesakaf, and the ladle with the k'tiris b'smaloi. So we see that carrying something with the left hand is not a problem. Ask the Gemara, V'nishadlo, why can't we bring a raya for something that we learned in Masechta Tamid, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Mahadatanan, and we discussed this halacha in our Masechta as well. A very integral part of carrying the parts of the animal of the carbon tamid to the mizbeach was, as we learned, there were gairolas, there were lots taken, exactly what parts were carried, what parts of animals were carried together. We learned many different opinions about that. And we learned that the kohen that took up the head of the animal also carried up the back right foot of the animal. And what we learned was he took the regal, he took the head in his right hand and regal shimin and the back right leg, the small, in his left hand. It's oira, the place where the animal was cut and it's bloody, should be facing away from the Mizbeach. But what do we see from here clearly? That you have to carry something to the Mizbeach, and you could carry it in your left hand. So why do we have to bring a raya? Asked the Gemara. That halacha could be done with your left hand. From our Gemara, the fact that they carried the Ketores, that the Kohen Gadol carried the Ketores with his left hand, why don't we bring a raya from that Gemara Masechta Tumit? Answers the Gemara, Ima Hasam, if we had it only learned there, Hanimili, Kapara, bringing those Avram to the Mizbeach don't prevent the carbon from being effective. And therefore, it's not considered that necessary. And since it's not considered that necessary, if you did it with the left hand, it's acceptable. But in our case, if you're not going to get the Ketores into the Beis HaMikdash, you're not going to have a Ketores. Or by the dam. If you're not going to get the dam, that was our question. If you're not going to get the dam to the Mizbeach, you won't be able to do Zrikas Adam. And as we know, without Zrikas Adam, we don't have a kosher carbon. Kamashmon, that's the chiddush of our Gemara, that even under such circumstances, the halacha b'smoil is not ma'akiv, and it's still valid. So, the Rishonim ask, how could there be a havamina that the halacha Adam cannot be done with the left hand? If, as we learned in our previous shiur, the halacha, the carrying of the Ketores to the Kodesh HaKadoshim must be done with the left hand, isn't that a raya that the left hand, of carrying with the left hand, is not an issue at all? So the Rambam and Tosfos Rosh answer that halacha HaKaf, carrying the Ketores, is an exception. Because as we learned in our previous shiur, one may not enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim more times than the Torah prescribes. So we learned in our previous year that the calf of the Torah must be carried at the same time as the machta with the coals. And we learned furthermore that since the machta was very heavy, the Kohen Gadol had to carry it with his right hand, and he had to use his left hand for halachas hakaf, for carrying the ladle with the Torah. And therefore, it's as if the Torah is telling us that we should carry it that way. But we don't know about the dam. The Kesem Mishnah asks that if it is essential to perform the Avodah Halacha with the right hand, so how could Chazal said to carry the Ketores with the left hand on Yom Kippur? How could they have made an exception? So the Rekorkus answers that when we look at carrying the Machta and the Kaf on Yom Kippur, it's not just inconvenient to do so. It's impossible to do so. And if the Torah HaKadosh said that the Kaf and the Machta have to be carried at the same time, what the Torah is telling us is that the avoid of Halachas HaKaf, the avoid of carrying the Torah into the Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippur, is an exception to the general rule. And therefore, it can be done with the left hand. And he continues to say that even if you'll have a Kohen Gadol who's very strong, and he could carry the machta with the coals with his left hand, and he's strong enough to do so, and the Ketores with his right hand, no! The Torah is telling us, carry the Ketores with your left hand and the coals with your right hand. And therefore, perhaps that's why Rav Sheshes had a question, I can't bring a raya from Ketores to the dam. Ritva has a different approach. He explains that even though the avoid of halacha is supposed to be done with the right hand, the carrying of the Ketores is not really considered an avoidah, because the Torah doesn't even speak about putting the Ketores into a kaf, putting the Ketores into a spoon on Yom Kippur. It only says that the Kohen should take the Ketores into Kodesh HaKadoshim. As we explained in our previous year, says the Ritva, the only reason a kaf is required is because it's not possible to carry Meloi Chofna of a Ketores into the Kodesh HaKadoshim while simultaneously carrying the Machta. So we see that carrying the kaf is not considered a genuine avoid of halacha. And therefore, maybe, says Rav Sheshes, it may be done with the left hand. But the halacha of the dam of every carbon towards the Mizbeach in order to be able to do Zrikas Adam, as we said earlier in our shir, is a real avoida. And since it's a real avoida, there, says Rav Sheshes, maybe it may not be performed with the left hand.